Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 11 of the Lose Weight, Create Life podcast. My name is Ryan Tomko, and today we're going to be talking to a good friend of mine, Gary Cantrell. Gary's super inspiring to me because not only has he lost a significant amount of weight, he's also been a big inspiration to me through his podcast, through his clothing company named Hard Work Always Wins. He was really the first person that really got me into doing a podcast. I was interviewed on his podcast originally, and that really inspired me to get out there and put out my own. I'm super excited to have Gary on, and if you enjoyed today's message, please feel free to share this with a friend, somebody you feel this message may be of use to. With that, let's get into the episode. Gary, I'm so grateful for your time. I'm so grateful for you joining me today. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Thanks for having me, man. Glad to see you're doing some podcasting there. Love it.
Absolutely. You inspired me when I was able to come on yours, so I'm super excited to come full circle with it.
Oh, definitely. This is awesome, man. I love it.
So, Gary, take us into the beginning of your weight loss journey. I'm sure many people have heard it on your podcast. However, share with our listeners here, what did your weight loss journey start like? What was it looking like when you first got going?
Boy, man, which one are we talking about? Because there have been so many iterations of it. Yeah. I'm assuming that you mean the most recent one, which is January of 2017. Look, I'm human, just like you, just like anybody else that's listening. Over the course of probably the last nearly 20 years, I have tried and tried and tried to better my health. And I was basically a situation of, you know, destroying my own chances of succeeding. You know, it's one of the things that they don't tell you when you start on a weight loss journey is how much of a mental game it really is, how much the mental aspect of this game, as we'll call it, really holds all the cards to any sort of progress, any sort of anything. Because if you don't have the relationship with your mind, you know, and your brain, the thing that's driving your body, then you're pretty much screwed before you even leave the parking lot. It's really a tough thing. So when I look back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and all the probably 7 or 8 times that I'm trying to lose the weight, you know, it's just starting and stopping pretty much, right? So it's like, you know, you go a couple of weeks, maybe if you last a month, if you're lucky, and then just give up. I just gave up for whatever reason. And, you know, I don't know what that answer is, what that reason is, other than just maybe I was just not believing in myself enough. I think maybe that's really the best way to describe it. So when we arrive at January of 2017, I finally was comfortable, you know, with my own mindset, with the mental relationship that I had with myself. I was comfortable with it. And that was when it all began. There was a photo that people that visit on my Instagram may find where I'm in this black suit and I look gigantic. And that was one of the first things that really woke me up. Okay. And then probably about a month later, you know, in my mind at that point in the end of November, I was already like, all right, I really need to do something. I really need to do something. Fast forward a couple of weeks later before the new year begins, my mother and I actually have a conversation. Now, she doesn't know, you know, what I was thinking in my mind, but she came to me and she's like, hey, you know, I know that you really, you know, have an issue with my smoking. She's, you know, big smoker, or was a big smoker rather. And she's like, I want to make a deal with you. You know, if you will start going to the gym, start putting in effort for your health, I will begin the process of quitting smoking, reducing smoking first, and then trying to ultimately quit. Yeah. And so that was a handshake deal that I made with her sometime in December. And so right when we get to January, man, we're out. What do they call that? Off to the races.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So that's interesting. Now, were you able to start right away when you guys made that deal? Did you still have some stuttering starting before you really got going?
So, you know, I didn't get started right in, because this would have been like mid-December. So sure. I started on the 3rd of January. And so I'm kind of a creature of habit when it comes to making schedules and things of that nature. So I said, okay, the first day I'm going to go to the gym is going to be whatever that first Monday is back to work. So I don't have my calendar in front of me, but I'm willing to bet that January 3rd, 2017 is in fact a Monday. And so that would have been my first day at the gym. The last couple of weeks before the new year, I was starting to kind of like slowly wean off of things like, you know, Coke, started to drink like primarily water, a little bit of sweet tea here and there, but I never had a big problem with that. I did have a really bad food addiction problem, and we could certainly get into that if you want, but I will say that McDonald's was the biggest thing for me that was – it was just the largest problem. So when I started this thing in the, at the beginning of January, I said, you know, I'm going to have to customize this diet, quote unquote, because I'm a very picky eater in nature, but I said that there are certain things that 1,000% – are not going to be allowed here, and that is soda, number one, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Wendy's, and Burger King. These are kind of like the five things that I identified to be the largest problem with me and my food addiction. I mean, McDonald's, without a doubt, is number one. I would stop. I have a 70 to 75 mile round trip to work every single day. And so Monday to Friday on the way home, because I was getting bored and anxious sitting in traffic, I was stopping at McDonald's. And I was ordering, I can tell you my exact order. It was either two or three McDoubles with Big Mac sauce, no ketchup, no mustard. And then it was four-piece McNugget and a medium chocolate shake. And I would get the same exact order every single day, Monday through Friday. I would eat it in the car. And then I would go home to my wife and she would have dinner and I would just eat that. Like, it was like I was keeping this from her. I was keeping it from everybody.
Yeah.
And so I said that, you know, when January 3rd rolled around, like, no more. That's it. Like, these are the five things that 100%, like, I don't care what else you eat, Gary, these five things are not up for discussion at any time.
That's amazing. I kind of second your thought about being a creature of habit, too. And I know the second time around, I started actually on a Tuesday. I was rather impressed with myself because I would do the same thing. If I slipped up on, like, a Wednesday or Thursday, I'd be like, shit, well, here we go again. Well, I couldn't start on a Saturday or Sunday. I needed to start on a Monday. So I would eat like crap the next couple of days, and then Monday would come around, and of course I'd fall into the same loop. So yeah, I totally get that. Yeah. Now, when you were first able to make it into the gym, what were you doing at the time? Were you strictly just doing cardio? Were you doing any weightlifting at the time?
Well, very much cardio. I mean, I don't know if you can call walking cardio.
Absolutely.
Sure, why not? I literally knew that I had to take it slow. And obviously, you know, I have four pillars. We're going to unravel those as we go here. But, you know, and these four pillars were not obvious from the jump. They were not, you know, the patience, consistency, hard work, love yourself. These are all things I learned on the job, we'll call it. But I told myself, you know, day one, I'm like, Gary, this is all I want from you, dude. I want you to get on that treadmill and I want you to walk. Just walk. I don't want you to try to run. I don't want you to try to jog. I just want you to walk nonstop for 1 hour straight. Can you do that? All right, cool. Let's go. And that was literally the goal for the first couple of weeks. It was literally, I just want you to show up and I just want you to walk. And that's it. At no point do I want you to even attempt to run yet. Just start out slow and just start walking.
Yeah. No, that's a very smart way to set up, because I know when I first started to lose weight, the first thing I thought of, well, how do I get skinny fast? Well, I probably run a lot, I think. So I would get up and try to go run. I thought, man, I'm going to go run a mile, and that's how I'm going to, you know, do it. You know, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, I'm going to go run. And then first day on the job, I'm out there trying to run, can't even make it down the freaking street. And I just stopped. I never even thought, hey, let's just walk this out. It was, man, I can't run down the street. This is over. I'm going to be fat forever.
Yeah, you got to sit before you can crawl. You got to crawl before you can stand up, and stand up before you can walk, and walk before you can run, and all that stuff, whatever metaphors you want to use for. Yeah. But that's literally, it sounds so obvious. It sounds so simple, but it's the truth, man. Like, you can't expect to walk in there day one and just completely destroy yourself.
Right. Yeah. It's not gonna happen. Yeah, until I got a trainer, I knew I was completely lost. So it's awesome that you were able to get yourself in there and get moving. Now, how heavy were you at your heaviest again?
So I want to say it was just under 400. I don't have the exact number. I know that when I stepped on the scale, It was like 372, but like I was above that even. I mean, sure. I know that I just didn't check it. You know, I knew
right.
from how I could feel, like based on what I knew 372 felt like, you know, when I first jumped on that scale, I knew that like I was probably under four, but pretty darn close to four. I mean, probably I would guess like probably 385, 395, you know, somewhere in there.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you don't need me to tell you this, but man, have you come a long way. Like your before and after pictures are absolutely incredible.
Well, I like to call them, I will have a slight disagreement, sir. I like to call them before and during. Because I'm not done, not yet by a long shot. And that's the thing, too. It's like this journey, I think a lot of people, they look at it like, you know, when I get done, when I finish this, when I finish that. Dude, your life. This journey is your life. Like it's not over until you're laying in the ground or you're cremated or laying in a damn, you know, urn somewhere or whatever, like some vase on your, like, you know, your kid's fireplace or something. Like that's when the journey's over. Like this is your life. And this is the journey. It's not some school assignment doing a couple of weeks. It's not anything that is any kind of like this is over with in a matter of months or even years. Like this is your entire life, this journey. And that's what I think a lot of people fall short on. And so when they don't meet these goals that they set, that they realize they're not going to, you know, reach, they get discouraged, they get upset, and then they want to quit.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You said it perfectly. I'm speechless now because you took it all out of me. It's Sorry. So true that it really is like the longest game because it's literally what's going to propel you through the entire rest of your life. And like you said, and so many people don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
I know so many people that do like the fad diets or do like fad exercise programs, and they're like, yeah, man, I'm going to be done with this in like a month. And man, right after that, boom, things are going to be great.
Yeah.
It's just like, but what after then? Like I have this coworker, and I won't say his name, but he constantly does, not constantly, but every so often he does water fasts where he completely cuts out all food and just only drinks water for like a week or 10 days or even longer. And I'm just like looking at him like, yeah, man, but when you stop, and you start eating again, you're just going to add all that weight back on. And it's just something that doesn't click for many people. It's what can I get now? And then what, you know, what's going to make me look good now? Rather than like what you explained, the long game that it really is. It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, look, if we fall into the comparison trap, which so many people do, you know, looking on Instagram, and there's a lot of great people out there just crushing it, but like, if you fall into the comparison trap, you could say, well, gee, like, God, I was scrolling through my feed and Ryan, man, he lost like 190 pounds in 8 months. And then here's the kicker. That person that's saying it will say, well, I've only lost 80 pounds. I've only lost it. Like, are you kidding me? You've only lost it. Like, that's a lot of weight, man. Like, and I think that a lot of people, they just don't look at it in the sense of like, hey, you know, we've all got a special set of circumstances. My body is not going to behave the same way your body is. Are there general core principles to follow in a weight loss journey like that's going to help you lose? Of course, yes. But everybody is not going to respond exactly the same way. And then as a result, you might have lost 180 pounds in 9 months, which sounds really crazy. But then I may have lost, you know, 70 or 80 pounds in the same amount of time because your body is different from my body, just like my body is different from your body.
Right. And exactly. The other thing that comes to mind when you say the difference in bodies is height, too. I know I'm 6'3", and when I was 400 pounds, I mean, I carried it all in my midsection, but I still didn't look like that big. But it's still 400 pounds. And, definitely. You know, it's all a matter of perception because there are people that are shorter than I am that look bigger and then lose, you know, a lot of weight. And then it's all how you carry it. It's all how you feel, too, I think. That's the other thing is everybody's looking for the magic, like 100 pounds, 150 pounds. But what does it look like for you? What are you going to be comfortable with? And so we lose sight of that so quickly.
Well, I hate to put a number on it. For me, I'm comfortable with, like, you know, I wake up, is my mental health good? Yes or no, whatever. And then how do I feel, like, in the clothes that I'm in? How do I feel when I get out of bed? Because when I was nearly 400 pounds, me getting out of bed, I was in pain from my feet to my ankles to my knees to my back, all that stuff. All that's gone now. You know, I'm currently around 285-ish, roughly. It you know, hovers a little bit, you know, 2 or 3 pounds above or under, give or take. And obviously, certainly, I want to get that number down still. But as far as how I feel right now, I mean, I feel incredible. I'm the most active I've ever been. You know, I've paid for the privilege to go do 5Ks and 10Ks. Like, I've paid for the privilege to do that. Like, that's something that the old me would have never done. So, you know, how do I gauge happiness? I look at where's my mental health, and then how does my body feel, more so than what does the number on a scale say? You know what I mean?
Yeah, very well said. I know when people talk about losing weight, or somebody comes to me for advice, I'm just like, you know, weigh yourself the first day and then don't look at that scale for like 2 months.
Sure.
Because so many people get so fixated on it. And if I don't drop, you know, 10 pounds that first week, I'm done. And so many people just gauge their self-worth by that number on the scale rather than like what you said. What does your mental health look like? What is your body telling you? And it's so interesting.
Well, I'd also add to that, it's like, you know, when you're on a journey like this, and you know, like we're on Instagram, so we're putting it out there, you know, friends and family, what is the number one thing that they ask you when they see you? What is it?
For me?
Yeah.
Man.
I can tell you what it is for me. How much weight have you lost?
Yeah. Okay.
That's the number one question.
Yeah. It's either that or it's like, how are you feeling? Because, you know, I would always come up with so many complaints or excuses when I was a lot heavier. But no, that's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, they look at you and they say, hey, you look great. How much weight have you lost?
Right.
Yeah.
Because if it's not some crazy number, then you feel insignificant, you know? If you're 100%. Not like, I dropped 150 pounds and then you feel insignificant. But that other person's probably looking at you like, you know, good for you. But we're in our own heads so much that we're not even willing to congratulate ourselves for that, which is crazy to think.
Believe me, you're preaching to the choir, man. I mean, I could, you know, so many times I've been in my own head and just putting all these limiting beliefs on myself.
Let's dive into that a little bit. What did your self-talk look like, and what does it look like now? What do you do for yourself if you're kind of in a rut? How do you pick yourself back up?
Well, I try to keep myself busy. I mean, obviously, you know, your listeners may not know, like I'm a content creator. You know, I do podcasting, I do YouTubing. I like to create content. So for me, if I find myself falling into a spot that I'm not comfortable with, it's basically, I'm going to keep myself busy. I'm going to try to keep my mind off of it. And then when I have to deal with it, I'll deal with it. But you know, there have been times, I mean, like I've had, you know, last year I had 2 deaths in the family, one day apart from each other. It was in the summer and I kind of fell into a rut. There was out of about a month, there was probably 2 days that I didn't work out that were on my schedule to do. I only missed 2 days out of a whole month, which I felt pretty good about, but it just goes to show that like real life is going to happen and it's going to hit you pretty fast and pretty hard. And you've got to prepare yourself that it's okay that, you know, if you really feel like you cannot make it through a workout, it's okay to miss that. You know, I wouldn't advocate missing an entire month, certainly, because then you're just going to get so far off your schedule. But I would certainly say, you know, a day or two here and there, like if you've got some stuff you're dealing with, deal with that stuff, because if you don't, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, no, it's very well said. Yeah, and there's so many times, like you said, when you lose somebody you care about. I know when I lost my mom, it took me months to get back on track. I think I was out like 6, 7, maybe 8 months. And I, you know, convinced myself, you know, I need to. One of the biggest things I came to terms with, it was how do I honor my mom? How do I honor the life that she lived? Well, I need to be a great person or a kind person. And then B, I need to take care of myself because that's what she would have wanted me to do. And then, you know, binge eating would take place. You just lose sight of that. Depression would kick in. And there was just so many times where, I would tell myself, hey, tomorrow we're going to go do chest. And then it would just never happen. I wouldn't get out of bed. I totally get that. And it's hard because every loss is different and every situation hits in a different way. It's just, it's tough. It's just tough to get yourself moving after that. And luckily, there's so many people out there and resources that if you are going through that, there definitely are people to help you. So I know if there is anybody going through that, that's a reach out. It was weird because after my mom passed, I thought like I was the only one in the world and there was this big spotlight on me that nobody else was seeing. But I felt like, you know, it was all happening to me. But there's so many people that are going through something similar like that. So that's one thing I would say is don't hesitate to reach out if you're struggling through something like that, if you're listening.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. Now, Gary, I want to talk to you more. So obviously you've done a lot of cardio, like you said, but one of the other big impacts on your weight loss journey has been your yoga practice. Please elaborate more on this because it's something that I definitely want to know more about from you.
Yeah, so I'm currently doing DDP yoga full time right now. There was probably, 2013 was the last time I attempted to do yoga. I used to do a wrestling podcast and I had Diamond Dallas Page on my show years ago. And he offered up, you know, a lot of good advice like, hey, you know, I do this program and if you stick with it, if you do X, Y, and Z, I think you'll get some results. And around that time, within a matter of about 2 months, I had lost like 50 pounds, which is staggering. And it's, it just goes to show you that the program does work if you put in the work. And so, you know, I quit because I just got in my own head and, you know, life got in the way and I just, you know, I just went back to my old ways like we tend to do at times. And I hadn't thought about it, you know, DDP yoga in years. And this year I had a gentleman on my show by the name of Vance Hines who had a very, very viral video go out there put out by the DDP crew. And this gentleman had lost 200 pounds over the course of a year on DDP yoga.
Yeah.
And it just it was just like a light bulb in my head. Like, man, he's talking about the story. And I remember watching his video. That's why I got him on the podcast. I wanted to dive deeper into his story. But I saw his video and I broke down into tears. I'm like, you know, wow, this is an inspiring story. And I would certainly recommend anybody that's interested in hearing that, you know, to check out the podcast. We did like an hour plus. But what a guy. I mean, just an incredible guy who put in a lot of hard work with doing the DDP yoga and is seeing the results as a result of it.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's interesting because I saw that same video that you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. And
yeah,
I mean, he has come such a long way. And so far, it's so incredible that because when I first thought of weight loss, there's two things that come to mind. It's running, running or weightlifting. And then to see him go through this, I mean, just mind-blowing change through yoga is incredible. And I know I try to do yoga maybe once a week through, you know, in between my weightlifting. However, I know it's something I need to get more serious about. So where, you know, how does the DDP program work? Is it every single day you have something going on? Do you have rest days in between? How does that look like? Or what does that look like?
It seems like it changes up every couple of weeks, but basically they have a smartphone app. I mean, they also have DVDs if you're more of the old school variety, but they have a smartphone app. I think it's like $9 a month or $90 a year, you know, whatever you want to pay. They also have a free trial, and I'm not, you know, I have no official affiliation with them other than I use the program and I've seen results, but I can tell you that if you go on to like whether your iPhone or Android, you go to the app market or app store that you have and you look it up, you can download it. And I think it's either a 1 week or a 1 month free trial that you can try it out. No credit card. You just jump right in and check it out. But basically, it seems like it's about 5 days a week, although Dallas in the videos will say do this every day. And I certainly I don't follow through with that just yet because I just, you know, I firmly believe in having rest days. I need them. My body needs them. My knees need these rest days. Even on yoga, it can still be stressful. But yeah, it's like, you know, you'll work out like Monday and have off Tuesday and work out Wednesday, Thursday, be off Friday, work out Saturday, and then on again Sunday or whatever it is. And it's like every other day or every couple of days you have a day off. But you know, they'll have a program that they'll put for that day. You know, there's different types of workout. There's energy, there's fat burner, below the belt, red hot core, different types that focus on different areas. And they kind of sprinkle them out throughout the week to you.
sure. So that's awesome. Yeah. I know that's something I definitely need to take a look at, because I need to do more of it for sure. It's such a useful tool if we're willing to incorporate it in. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, yeah. No worries at all. And I would recommend also, I did another interview with this guy, Chase Green, who at one point was over 500 pounds. And he started doing the yoga, and he's down over 80 pounds. And, you know, he still has a very big frame. His body is still large, and he's doing it. And if he can do it, then I would advocate anybody can certainly do it.
I know. Yeah, he's got an incredible story, too. That's amazing. And like I said, at least from the outside looking in, when I was first thinking of it, I never thought something like yoga would be able to do something like that. But it truly does. It's truly incredible.
Absolutely. I agree 100%, bro.
Now, Gary, when I first started taking Instagram seriously, it wasn't on my own accord. I actually was working with a life coach at the time, and he was like, Ryan, if you're serious about losing weight, you need to start posting stuff on Instagram, on social media, whatever platform you like. Now, that's about the same time I came across your page, and I was like, man, this Gary guy. And then I started, you know, looking more into all the resources you have in your podcast. And then you, like you said before, the four pillars of strength that you have come up with. Take us through that. How did that come about? And why is each pillar so important to your weight loss story?
Well, it was something that I learned just along the way. The four pillars, of course, are patience, consistency, hard work, and love yourself, or self-love, whatever you, however you want to say it. And these were all very core values that I learned as I went along. The patience part, I really hammer home for, I put it first, because you have to be patient. I mean, we talked about it earlier. Yeah. This is a long journey. It's your life. I mean, you could live for another 50, 60 years, whatever it is. That's a long time. So you better be patient, because, you know, it's going to take a long time to see, you know, results, because you're changing your habits. You're changing the way that you're living. And over time, you're going to see results, as opposed to the quick fixes where you see results, you know, sometimes you see results right away, but they don't last long because of these crash diets. And like you mentioned earlier, you just put the weight back on so quick. So the patience part of it is understanding that, you know, hey man, this thing is going to take a long time to really start seeing the big picture and the results. The consistency part is right in behind that, because you have to be consistent with your actions. You know, if you come in one day and put in 100%, and the next day you put in 35%, and then followed by that maybe 60%, you're not going to get the results, because you're not being consistent with your efforts. And so that's why consistency is super important. Hard work ties right into both of these things, because if you show up and you put in that 30%, you're not working hard enough, and you're not going to work your body hard enough to where it's going to get into a state of where it's going to be trying to burn off fat and shaping your body. So you've got to work really hard. You got to put in max effort every time. Like, it's just, it's, you have to go the best that you can possibly go every time. And then, you know, lastly, the love yourself, the self-love part of it. That's huge, man, because if you don't love yourself, it's game over. It's all over. If you don't have that mental relationship with yourself and have it in a good state of mind, it is all over. You cannot, you know, you cannot, you know, expect to see results if you don't have that relationship with yourself in check. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I totally get it. And it really made sense to me when I saw it on one of your t-shirts. I bought it right away, because I was like, man, this makes more sense than anything I've ever seen. And I think we've all had those kind of thoughts come into play, but to see it like printed out was like genius on your part. And I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And if, you know, I'll let you plug it later, but I need to plug it now. Your clothing line, Hard Work Always Wins, is incredible, Gary.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. And the impact you're making for others is truly, it's truly amazing through your podcast and through your clothing line and just your presence on social media. Now, mentioning that, what is the online social media space done for you in your weight loss journey? How big has that been for you?
Oh, it's been everything. I mean, it's number one, it's allowed me to communicate my story, to be that storyteller and show the world like what I'm up to. It's also, you know, keeps you accountable, obviously, because you can't post about being like, you know, on a weight loss journey. And then if you're like in McDonald's every day, just like, you know, yeah, double fisting Big Macs or whatever, like you can't do that. So it keeps me in check of like, hey, you know, I need to make sure that I'm on my best behavior. You know, I'm not going crazy eating like a maniac, you know, during the week, and I'm not missing workouts because there are people that are watching, and these people, they, you know, a lot of them have told me they're inspired. So I want to continue to inspire. That's the other reason why I put it out there, because I want to help others. And I think that the message that I've communicated has resonated with enough people that they say, okay, you know, this guy, we believe in what he's saying. And the other part of it too is just meeting people. Like I think about this Flying Pig in Cincinnati,
yeah,
where a bunch of us are meeting up, and it's like, man, you know, this is what it's also all about, is the community aspect of it, you know, meeting people face to face, hanging out. That's what I love, man.
No, I get it. And for anybody that's listening and isn't familiar with Gary, please go check him out. And he's super kind, super gracious with his time. He's interviewed so many people like you and I then that have been on the weight loss journey, started, stopped. And Gary, what you're doing is incredible. So I love it, man.
I appreciate it, man. I just, you know, that's the other thing too, is the podcast is getting people's stories out, because I feel like we all come from different walks of life, but our goal is may not be exactly the same, but it's in a sense, it's kind of in the same neighborhood of thinking of, you know, we all have very similar goals. And so with that, I think it's important to share many different stories, because, you know, you might take the highway to get to your goal. I might take the back road, whatever it is. We have a different way to get there, but we have very similar goals. And so I think it's important to share where people are coming from, so that people that are listening, maybe there are people that want to get started and they're listening to different, you know, five different types of diets and workout regimens or whatever, and yeah, they can formulate something that works for them. Cause I think it's all about customizing it to you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, when it comes to your pillar of self-love or self-care, what are some daily habits or things that you do regularly that contribute to either your mental health, your physical health? What are some things you do either daily or weekly to kind of maintain yourself?
I would, number one, I'd go back to kind of what we're talking about earlier, as far as keeping myself very busy. You know, I do run a clothing line. I have a podcast. I'm working on YouTube videos. Eventually, this is going to be my full-time thing, is creating this content, selling, you know, the t-shirts and all that stuff. And so I try to keep myself as busy as possible when it comes to that. So just being, you know, utilizing that and flexing that creative muscle and trying to come up with new ideas for one of these different avenues, is always number one on the list. Now, when it comes to like weekends, going to places like amusement parks and things like that, where I can be outside, I can get a lot of steps in. So I'm still working out, but I'm also having fun. I'm on the roller coasters. It's making me smile, making me laugh, making me scream, whatever it is. It's like, that's where the self-love comes in. It's like, you know, making myself happy, keeping myself happy. That's really number one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. And I know for me personally, if I'm not, you know, active throughout the day, if I don't have positive self-talk as well, is another big one for me,
yeah,
then it makes it hard to have that self-love like you talk about. So I encourage people to take a look at that. Take a look at how you're speaking to yourself, where your thought patterns are, just how you're interacting with yourself and with others. It's, mm-hmm, it really is amazing how much little shifts in our routines and daily lives like that can manifest in such a big way in our health, our relationships. It's crazy.
100%.
All right, Gary, I got one final question here for you. Now, this is okay. One I've asked everybody pretty much. Let's say you're meeting somebody for the first time, somebody similar to yourself when you were starting out, somebody that has a lot of weight to lose, and you, for whatever reason, are only going to get to spend a couple minutes with this person, but you can leave them with three tips or three things to help get them started, get them motivated, get them going. What do you think those three things are that you would share with this person?
Well, I would, number one, I would jump to the four pillars, and I'm hoping that I can lump that as one thing, like the four pillars as a whole, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd have to say, hey man, can I take a rain check on the one, and we'll just do four instead of three. But I think the four pillars, I mean, man, that's really, you know, it always goes back to that, because that's really the foundation of it all. But I would tell this person, you know, look, you've got to be super patient. You've got to have the right mental relationship with yourself, and you've got to be ready to put in the work, because no one is going to drag your ass out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and meal prep for you and make you go out and jog or go to the gym or whatever it is. So, you know, you're an army of one. You've got to, you know, again, right mental relationship, ready to put in the work, and being patient throughout this process. And those are, I guess, if I had to pick three, I guess those would really be the most important things to me.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned one last thing that triggered another question in my head that I would be remiss if I didn't ask you. What does your nutrition look like now? I know we talked about the bad habits that we were breaking before. I know I can relate to a lot of those. Now, what does your nutrition look like today?
I am in no means a nutritionist expert or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And if you were to look at the food I ate, it's probably similar to that of a child at times. there's a lot of chicken in there. I will say that, because here's the thing too, that goes back to being a picky eater. And my 100 pounds plus that I've lost has been based solely on portion control. You know, I'm sure dietitians would look at some of the stuff I ate and said, I don't really know about that there, buddy. But I still lost the weight. And so for me, again, it works. If we're talking about me specifically, if we're talking about you or somebody else, it could be a different story, right? So I would say there's a lot of chicken in there. I used to eat a lot of red meat. I still have some, but I've, like burgers, for instance, I've swapped out with turkey burgers. And when I first started on the journey, it was my burger, because I eat a lot of those. I eat a lot of the turkey burgers throughout the week. I would say that, you know, it started out looking like I used to have, before I got started, it was like two turkey burgers, mashed potatoes, and green beans. I still had the green beans in there, of course. When I started the journey, I was like, okay, well, let's simplify this just a little bit, because we have to slowly wean off the bad habits. So, cool. Let's cut that two turkey burgers down to one. A little bit less mash, a little more green bean. And then what I found, because I was like, okay, well, I'm not really missing the extra burger. What happens if, it's always what if, like what, you know, what could it be? What happens if I take the bun off the burger and I just keep on the cheese and the sauce? How does that go? And maybe we'll put it into a wrap. Let's try it with a wrap. So I did it with a wrap for a while. And then I was like, okay, this is cool. Now what happens if we don't have a bun or a wrap at all? So we wipe out the bread completely. Well, I actually still like it. So then I started eating them without any kind of bread. Now, do I cut out bread 100%? No. But I have, you know, taken it away from my hamburgers, and I've taken it away from my chicken patty burger things, or whatever they're called, chicken patties. And I don't have buns on those anymore. I do have the cheese and the sauce, but it doesn't really affect me in any kind of super negative way. I eat a lot more salad now. That's another thing. So there's a place near my house that I'm hoping to one day learn how to replicate the recipe, and then I just cut them out altogether. But I'd say at least once or twice a week, I'll order from this place. They have a barbecue chicken salad. And one of the things that I did was, you know, I look at food sometimes and I get scared. I'm like, well, you know, like salad, I can't possibly eat it plain. So sure. What I would do is I would cut out enough of other things throughout the day to where I could allow myself to have that dressing on there and a healthy to me portion of the dressing, which is probably more than other people's portion of dressing. But I feel like I've cut enough stuff out throughout the rest of the day to allow for that little bit of extra dressing within the salad. And it's got, like, you know, barbecue chicken in there, and it's really, really good. And again, I'm able to take certain examples like this and do what I call hacking, you know, hacking the diet to work for me and my weird taste for food. And it's gotten me to, you know, over 100 pounds lost. So for right now, it's like, if it ain't broke, we don't need to fix it. Like, you know, these are the things I like. and this is how I'm going to get the portions under the right control and utilize that versus saying, well, you're not allowed to have this, 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 and this. And, you know, you only have to eat, you know, Brussels sprouts every day, like, you know, something ridiculous, which is what I think a lot of us think when we think diet, like, oh, my God, I have to cut off every single thing that I love. And that's absolutely anything but the case. Then you could take it one step further and be a super lunatic, crazy son of a bitch like me and say, well, what if for the year of 2019, you cut out alcohol, pizza, and chocolate? And as I'm finding now nearly in May that I'm not missing it quite as much as I thought I would.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring that up because that's exactly what I was thinking while you were starting the beginning there is everybody has this kind of knee jerk reaction to cut everything out.
Yep.
And then we're just left, you know, with, oh God, what can I eat? And then fear, panic sits in, and that's where we kind of revert back to those old habits. I think you really brought up an interesting point about just kind of taking what you enjoy, trying to make it healthier, and then kind of peeling back the layers as far as, okay, what can I eliminate here and still satisfy my cravings?
The secret sauce to that, Ryan, is you're changing your habits, right? So like I said, I started out with two burgers, then I went down to one. And then I was like, well, maybe let's try a wrap instead of the bun. So like my behavior was kind of changing on its own as I was teaching myself, let's eat a little bit of less. And I'm like, okay, you know, one day it's like, well, what if there's no bun now? What if there's only a wrap? And so over time, my body's behavior was changing on its own. My mindset was changing on its own. And I think that's far more supportive of a weight loss journey than saying we're going to cut off X, Y, and Z, because then you have that anxiety of what can I eat?
Yeah, man, 100%. Beautifully said. Gary, thank you so much for joining me today. And please take a second for yourself and plug in everything you're doing, because you're doing a lot. And I'm sure the people are going to want to check you out if they're not already. So please share with us all the spaces you're in and what you've been working on.
Well, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Anytime I get an invite to do a podcast, I'm incredibly thankful. And I'm very happy to see you in this space, because I think that people telling their story is a great thing. And podcasting is a great medium for that. My friend Daryl Perry at Your Level Fitness is a great advocate of folks using podcasts to tell their stories. And I couldn't agree with him anymore. I think he's right on the nose on that. I think it's a great way to share your story. I don't think that podcasting needs to be quote unquote for just the professionals anymore. I think everybody should utilize it as a tool. So with that being said, you know, I've been in this space now for about 12 years, and garyspodcast.com is a place where if you want to hear me and my thoughts in long form talking to people, I mean, you and I did a podcast before, they can go back and reference that. They can listen to any of the other podcasts, some of the ones I did with Daryl, the one with Vance, the one with Chase, and many other inspiring, incredible people. I would recommend that they head over to garyspodcast.com. Now, I will also say that if you enjoy the podcast, and this has been something that I've heard a couple of times, so I'm like, all right, maybe there's something to this. It's not just me, but people will say, you know, hey, dude, I just discovered your podcast, and now I'm like binging through all of them. There's like over 90 of them now, but like,
yeah,
it's like, oh my God, I'm binging through all of them. I love it. I can't get enough. You know, how do I get more? How do I not have to wait until the next Wednesday to get the podcast? And so for that, I offer a service on Patreon where people can donate a small amount, and in return they will get the show 5 days before the public gets it. And so when they get it early like this, they're getting it without any commercials or anything like that. It's just straight up the show. Excuse me. And so you can check that out. It's like $4 a month. And like I said, that takes out all the commercials. You get it 5 days early. And then for people that want to jump a little bit deeper in, I offer a $10 a month, although I would act on this fast because these are actually the ones that are going first, which surprised me. But there's a $10 tier where people can get their name and Instagram handle read on the show every week. It's like a shout out. It's right at the top of the show. And I was surprised that people actually went for this first. Like, I gave only 10 spots because I don't want to read 50 names, but it's 10 spots and like 6 of them are filled. So if that's something that interests you, you can almost think of it like an advertising space. And I guarantee you're not going to find advertising on a podcast that's heard by thousands of people for $10 a month. I mean, that's a pretty solid deal. And then, of course, we have the T-shirt tier, which is $20, where you pay the $20. After your first payment clears, I ship you one of my T-shirts. And after that, I usually recommend that people jump down to the $10 or the $4, just because I don't ship a T-shirt every month. You get it once. And then after that, you either stay in the service at a different tier, or you drop off. But that's $20 a month, and that's actually a little bit cheaper than going to my shop, because I want to get people in the door on the Patreon and get them to check it out. And I'm hoping that I can keep them there with that. And, you know, and I'm offering bonus stuff. You know, I did a whole series of, you know, when I was in bands, I like took the songs that I was a part of and I recorded me talking about these songs in depth. And that was like a bonus podcast. When I have certain goals that are reached, we're going to start adding video to the podcast. We're going to start doing a lot of more bonus stuff on that website. And then finally, you know, I would say hardworkalwayswins.com. That is the T-shirt site. It, you know, we've got all kinds of stuff, T-shirts, hoodies, hats, you name it. We've got it. Instagram, of course, at Gary Cantrell. That's really everywhere that you can find me.
That's awesome, man. Well, Gary, I look forward to keeping up with you, and I will be seeing you at the Flying Pig in a couple of weeks here.
Oh, you're going to be there?
Yeah, yeah. I will be making the trip down. I don't know that I'll be there the Friday for the meet and greet, or at least okay. I won't be there when it starts.
Okay.
However, I will definitely be there Saturday for sure. And yeah, I look forward to seeing you there, and I look forward to seeing everybody else. And Gary, again, thank you so much for your time this evening. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me, brother. I really appreciate it.
Good luck with
the podcast, man.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much.
You got it. Anytime.
I want to thank Gary again for joining me on today's episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, please feel free to leave a comment or review on whatever platform you're listening on. Or feel free to message me directly at Ryan Tomko on Instagram and let me know what you thought of today's episode, as well as who I should have on in future episodes. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please feel free to share this with a friend, somebody you think this message may be of use to. And in case you haven't been told this today, remember, you are worth your dreams.